Hello, my name is Susie DeJong, speaker, coach, and author of The Untangling. And this is the Untangling series podcast, where we untangle our own unseen and unspoken chains that bind us to open up the way for us to experience more joy and peace and healing than we ever thought possible. So come and join me. Put on your comfiest clothes, grab a cup of something hot, or maybe even a glass of something bubbly. Put your feet up and let the untangling begin. Hello, and thank you for joining me today on the next episode of the Untangling podcast. I have to say, over the last few years in the work that I do as a coach and just meeting the people around me, what never fails to amaze me time and time again is when I speak to people who have gone through unimaginable challenges or trauma. And when they come out the other side, the first thing they think about is, how can I help others going through what I've gone through? Anne McDonald is one of those very special people. Anne is one of the most vivacious and captivating souls I have ever had the pleasure of meeting. A sweet, kind woman who has overcome so much and has a heart so full of love despite what she has experienced in her life. Anne and I crossed paths some years back. I'm still not 100% sure how or where, but that is totally irrelevant, because the fact that we did allowed Anne to experience her own life-changing moments, not only with her own personal emotional situation, but also her long-term debilitating chronic health conditions, culminating in so many symptoms, and finally getting diagnosed with a condition called FND, which stands for Functional Neurological Disorder. It is really hard not to get swept up in Anne's enthusiasm and her belief in how we can all play a part in our own healing through understanding how our minds work and also taking responsibility. And in this, we are talking about not only domestic abuse, but chronic illness and mental illness conditions. I'm so proud to call Anne a special and very dear friend of mine, and encourage anyone who listens to this and feels drawn to connect with her to help them walk through their own personal health journey to do so. What better person to support you than someone who can totally understand what you are experiencing? I am so beyond delighted to share Anne's story with you. Hi, and welcome everyone. It's Susie DeJong, and thank you for joining me again today on the Untangling podcast. And today we're going international. I'm so excited. I have a beautiful lady all the way from Scotland, from a place actually called Elgin in Scotland. And I'm really grateful for her because it's 8 a.m. in the morning over here, and over in Scotland at silly o'clock, stupid o'clock, it's something like 11 o'clock at night. And she's had a huge day, but still was gracious enough to come on and have a chat with me today. Her name is Anne McDonald. I looked up what Elgin is famous for because I thought I should do a little bit of research. And the first thing that popped up on Google was whiskey, which I had a bit of a chuckle about. So I think by the end of this podcast, not only will Elgin be famous for whiskey, it will be famous for being the home of this beautiful lady, Miss Anne McDonald. So thank you so much, Anne, for joining me today. I'm really, really grateful.
Oh, thank you, Susie, for inviting me. And it's an absolute pleasure to be here. And I'm so happy to meet you face to face, as it were, after such a long time. I have to tell you out there that I first came across Susie in 2017. And when I did, I was severely disabled and I had not even started on this journey yet. And Susie had a channel on Facebook or a site, a page on Facebook called The Beautifully Selfish. And this was a concept that was completely new, completely different, completely unknown to me. Something that never in my life had I even considered that you could be beautiful and selfish, that it was okay to be beautifully selfish, that it was fine to take care of yourself, to look after yourself. And I started watching Susie's Facebook page and the post that she made. And I really loved what she said. I loved the message that she had, which was that we can at long last focus inwards, go inwards, find out who we are, untangle ourselves appropriately from all the other stuff that we've had to do throughout our whole lives or be throughout our whole lives in order to fit in with the societies that we live in. And somewhere and being a parent, being an employee, being all sorts of different roles throughout our lives. And also having been taught from a very, very young age that it was wrong to be selfish and that somehow or other you were a bad person if you were selfish. Whereas, of course, that is such a poor learning for a little child. And it's really unfortunate because if you think about it, up until around about 3 years old, children are naturally egocentric. So they naturally look after themselves. And interestingly, they also naturally heal themselves quite often. They fall, they get back up, they get on with it. They don't make a fuss about it, they just get on with the next bit. Because that's the way that they work. They just like now and then now and then now and then now and every now is exciting. And then of course they get told that they've not to be so inward, that they've got to consider other people. They've got to be kind. They've got to be patient. They've got to be understanding. They've got to be all sorts of things. And they start with this very long list of tick boxes of, right, okay, have I done that bit yet? Have I done that bit? Oh, and now you're telling me I have to be humble as well. Oh, right, okay, how do we fit that bit in? I don't actually know what that means. Oh, I have to be humble. And then, of course, as it turned out, for me personally, at the age of 4 year old, my best friend became, was, or the person who became my best friend at age 4 years old was a minister of our local church. So I used to walk about a 15-minute walk to go to see all these smiley, shiny, happy people at the church. Yeah. Who were lovely, shiny, happy people. Who gave us sweets and taught us songs, and we could have action songs, and it was all very, very much lots and lots of fun. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Except, and it was my path, and I'm grateful for that path now that we've done a huge amount of untangling. However, at the time, I learned this little rhyme in church. Jyoy, Jyoy. This is what it means. Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between. And this almost became my motto, that I was always the bottom of my own list of
And
priorities.
I might just chip in here because when I created that group, that for me was a really a personal thing too, because I think especially as women, and I'm not saying it doesn't happen with men too, but even at a certain age, you kind of realize that you forget who you are and that, maybe if you've had a family growing up and, that's really important to you, and you want to do the best by, everyone around you, but you forget who you are. And then you feel like if I do something that makes me happy, that is selfish. That's where that came from, because I really don't like that word. That's why I put beautifully with it, because to me, it took the power away of that. And as you said, there's nothing wrong with thinking about what makes us happy. That's not selfish. But when you've had those beliefs drummed into you all those years, it's a very foreign concept. So that's why I wanted to introduce that. And I'm so glad that that resonated with you.
It so powerfully resonated with me, more than you can imagine. I can even remember, like 25 years ago, going to a Buddhist retreat, and I learned this form of Buddhism, form of meditation called metta bhavana meditation. And metta bhavana is basically sending out loving kindness, compassionate loving kindness. And it's got five stages, and you start with yourself, and then you start with someone that you care about, that you know well, that you're fond of, and then the next one is somebody that is an acquaintance, and then somebody that maybe irks you a little bit, and then you go back to yourself, and then you send it out from here to the whole of Elgin, to the whole of Scotland, to the whole of Europe, until we take in Australia. And until we've got the whole world in there, and we've done it, and that whole world is this filled up with this loving kindness. And I love this meditation. But the first time I did it, I said, I don't understand. I says, you keep talking about these five stages. I says, and I don't know what I'm missing. Somebody you like, somebody that you've only just met, somebody who you don't like that much, and somebody who irks you. Who's the fifth one? And of course, he just looked at me and went, "You." I was like, and the tears flowed. And it was just like, wow, what a deep hurt that it was. And of course, that deep hurt did stay with me throughout all of these years. And it just so happened that I came across you, Susie, at the exact right time. The exact right time, and it was the exact time where I had to put me first. I had to learn to be egocentric again, to look inwards, to see who I am, to find out who I am, etc. And that whole journey, that whole voyage, in some ways, started with you, with finding your
Wow.
sight.
Tell me
And
what
it
was going on in your life at that exact moment, whatever you want to share, you only share what you feel comfortable with.
What was happening for me at that time was that my partner, just a few days beforehand, had become insanely jealous, partially through alcohol, was completely unfounded. You know, just this is a derangement in his head. And if you could get there fast enough, you could sort of say, no, come on, that's not happening. Come on, calm down. It's okay, that's not happening. Except that I had been away for a few days, came back, and he had been drunk for the whole time I'd been away. And it ended up a complete mess. And he first of all tried to hold me down in the bath and drown me. And I lived in the countryside and I couldn't get away. And then the next morning, I was trying to explain to him, this is domestic abuse and you can't do this. This is what Police Scotland say about this kind of behaviour. And he just turned and said, well, in that case, I have to kill you. And he attacked me and he tried to kill me and I had to fight for my life. And it was obviously very intense, and I am exceptionally glad. I have to put this out there. I am exceptionally glad that I learned self-defense like 30 or 5 years beforehand or something, because everything came flooding back in that moment, and it was very much, this is the time. I need to fight for me. I need to fight for my life. And I was so shocked afterwards that I did fight for my life. But it should be a normal thing. But I just was so surprised that I actually did fight for my life. But anyway, it was one of the big shocks of it all. The other and I did get him off me, and I did manage to distract him, and I did keep on. I can't remember how, and then came the next bit. There was a real revelation to me, and I do want to share this because it is very defining.
Absolutely, please go ahead.
I had always said that if anybody was ever violent to me, they wouldn't wake up. They wouldn't wake up. When you go to sleep, that's it, you wouldn't wake up. Now, this came from a story that I was told when I was about 11 years old of a lady whose husband had been a total brute to her. And she got to a point where one night he went to sleep and she took a frying pan over his head and walloped him with a frying pan. And he woke up and she said, "Don't you ever touch me again because you always have to sleep sometime." And that was the story. And I'd remembered that from when I was 11 year old. And therefore it stuck with me that if I was ever in that situation, that person would not wake up. Well, of course, I footed about and pottered about until he passed out drunk. And then came that moment. And I looked at him and I thought, if I do this, this is who I am. This will define me for the rest of my life if I do this. Is this who I am? And it just came a resounding no. No. That's not who I am. Not who I could ever be. Ever. And so, bit by bit, I packed some stuff into my car and I escaped.
Wow, that I had no idea of any of that. I just thank you so much for sharing it. It's so personal. And for anyone listening who's in a similar situation, it's easy for us to judge on the outside when we're not in that life, and say, why don't people just leave? But we're not in that life. We don't understand. So just know that you're not alone, and there's people that do understand. Maybe it's Annie, maybe it's someone around you that you can reach out to. But well, of course, what kicked in for you was adrenaline. It's that fight and flight and the survival mode. And I
Was.
just, wow, I had no idea. That's just crazy. I think
It
you are. Somebody
is absolutely crazy.
from that place, and I can actually remember some of your messages on my group back then. And I had a feeling, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I had a feeling that you were at a place where you were frustrated, like, well, it's all very well for you, but how do I get to where you are? I can just kind of remember one post, but again, I was not in your shoes, and I was always open to what was going on for people, in their lives. But tell me, from that point, that critical point in your life, what was the next step for you?
What happened was, in order to, because I lived in the countryside, I couldn't go home to staying out in the countryside. So therefore I stayed with my son, and I was staying in my son's spare room, which meant that I didn't have any of the distractions or any of the stuff that I would normally do. But and plus, at home, I don't normally have internet. I didn't have internet access. Well, I had to go a mile to the school before I could get internet access. Take a phone call from the side of the road in the snow and such like. Whereas staying at my son's house, I had internet access. And that meant, of course, I went on Facebook. Before that, I was just not, I don't think I even went on Facebook. And then it just so happened, of course, scrolling, came across you, started following there, but also was very much attracted to, I think it even possibly might have connected with you, was Mindvalley. Were you in Mindvalley, Susie?
Well, I interviewed Bruce Appere. And so she was connected. So I don't know, Facebook's got all these weird algorithms, so maybe it just brought us together that way.
Exactly. But no, I'd come across yours first, right? And then it turned out that Mindvalley came up. And I thought, oh, that sounds kind of interesting. Let's see what happens. You know, that was a free masterclass. And I'd never done anything like that before, ever, right? Now, I have to stop at this point and give a bit of background, okay? Because I had been ill and disabled on just about every level from 1994 through to, what is that, 2017. So we're talking what 25 years of being 24, 20, 24 years at that point of being ill and disabled. And when I say ill and disabled, I really seriously mean it. On like I remember, like, for example, the benefits agency or whatever, government offices would only give you 20 things to fill in. And at the end of the 20, I'm kind of like, but I've got all those 20 conditions. So have you got another bit of paper that I can fill in more conditions? Where's the rest of my conditions going to go? You know, and it was kind of like, seriously. And it's like, yes, would I be saying it otherwise? And I had far too many conditions. And this was a truth, too many conditions. And of course, and part of it was, by the way, that I was in a wheelchair as well. And I had a powered buggy and I struggled like all the time. And if I went out for an afternoon to get my shopping, I was in a powered buggy, of course, so it wasn't that stress, but it would take me about 4 or 5 days to recover from that one day. I never get any more than about an hour and a half to 2 hours sleep because I had a bladder condition that meant I had a retentive bladder that meant that, of course, as soon as I lay down, boom, felt like I needed the toilet. Go to the toilet, come back, lie down, boom. So every night I'm falling asleep, feeling like I need the toilet, which is horrendous, by the way. And then waking up a couple of hours later, perhaps with sleep paralysis, couldn't get turned over on my side, busting for the toilet, sweat pouring off me, couldn't get turned over on my side, and having to do this, and trying to work out this weight, and having to go back into sleep, and then shift a bit so that something gave up here so that I could then just move. And even just to like get out of bed was this sort of shuggly thing that I had to shuggle onto my side and then shuggle down and then go down onto the floor
Oh my
and
God.
then down onto my knees and then back up again because that was the safest way to get up. It was the safest way to do things. And I also had a terrible balance problem. Like I was all forever clatter banging off of walls and doors and door handles and it was just ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. What a horrible, horrible way to live. And of course, I did years and years and years of it. So you're absolutely right when I'm saying, well, how do I get from where I'm at to where you're at?
I can say
Because
it
I'm
feels
seeing
like
this
a
lovely, shiny, happy person in front of me who looks like she's got it all sussed. And there's me sitting in my son's room, and somebody's trying to kill me. And I'm so ill and disabled, and I don't know how, where I'm going to stay now and where I'm going to live, and it's all just bleh. Yeah.
of feels like a
So,
nightmare you can't wake up from.
well, yeah, that was what it was like. It was like 25 years of a nightmare that you couldn't wake up from. And then, absolutely. And then, as it turned out, that the first session on Mindvalley, that was a free masterclass, was Marissa Peer. And the session that she did was called Bulletproof Against Rejection, which we can access. We can access it through the library. But it's through Mindvalley. Mindvalley, I think, kind of own it, but we can still access it. But anyway, Bulletproof Against Rejection. What's that to do with anything, right? And I listened to her wee spiel and such like, and we've all, I mean, I've heard Marissa obviously a lot of times now, and I know I can almost repeat Marissa like straight off. However, followed what she said, got three scenes, And at the end, I thought, and a bit tearful as well, I thought, oh, that was interesting. I was quite interested in that, yeah. Fascinating. And I went to get out of bed, and I swear I got up in one fluid movement. My body just stood up, turned round, and suddenly I'm stood there looking at the bed, still expecting me to be in that bed. Yeah. And was just stood there going, what the beep, beep? Really? What the? And I'm looking at my hands, right? This was the strangest thing. I'm looking at my hands. And the reason was because I could feel my fingers. I could feel that my hands weren't in pain. I had not a bit of pain in my hands. And this was just like phenomenal, mind-blowing. And then I touched my fingers and I could actually feel my fingertips. I hadn't been able to feel my fingertips for such a long time that it was just like absolutely awesome. And I'm stood there and I'm kind of like, oh my God. Now, before this, I could only get my fingers to about there, right? Suddenly, my hands go to there.
Wow.
It just went right there. And I've got osteoarthritis. I don't know if you can see. Yeah. But I do have osteoarthritis in my hands. Yeah. So there was a reason that they were only going to there, a very physical reason, except that, hey, guess what? Yeah. And because of this, I wasn't able to write. I wasn't able to do so many things because I didn't have the manual dexterity. I didn't have the manual control. And I could actually just feel it right away between my head and my hand that, yes, I had that manual control back again. And then came the, oh, realization, my head isn't floating. It's not feeling like I'm in a boat in a size 10 quake, in a size 12 gale. Wow. My brain's not floating. Wow. That was like, oh. And then of course came the body scan all the way down as I realized the bit by bit by bit, pain was gone, pain was gone, pain was gone, pain was gone. And what was more, going right the way down to my feet, and I could feel my feet on the ground.
Can you explain
That.
to people the association, like it when you've described that, which is just fantastic. I can't believe that you had such an immense reaction to that. But can you just explain for the people that don't know what RTT, Rapid Transformational Therapy, is, what the connection is between our mind, our conscious and subconscious mind, and what you've just described?
Yeah, well, obviously at that time, at that moment in time, I had absolutely zero idea, right? No idea at all. I had absolutely no idea of the connection at all. What I can tell you, so just to finish this wee bit of story, is I decided to try to walk to the toilet without touching anything, which was massive for me. And I got to the toilet, and at the beginning of this story, I told you that I had a retentive bladder. Well, I sat down and I did the biggest pee that I'd done in the past 25 years. I swear it was brilliant. It felt so good. Yeah. Something as simple as that can be so effective and just make such a difference to how you feel. And just that whole thing. Well, of course, that was me hooked, completely hooked. And I followed Marissa Peer. Oh my goodness, every single video that came up. And I repeated her words after her and everything that I could get a hold of. And I had absolutely no money, so I had no chance of studying with her. I had no chance of doing her course. And then eventually got to a point where it was like, I don't have a choice. I have to do it. You just have to do it. I don't know how. So I decided to ask. I was staying with a very, very good friend who'd taken me in because I still couldn't stay in my own house. And he'd taken me in. Very, very good friend, known him for like 35 years. But he's a labourer, he's not a wealthy man. And I said to him, is there, I said, look, I really want to do this. Would you support me to do this, to study with Marissa Peer so that I can become an RTT hypnotherapist? And he asked what it involved. And I was like, I need you to put the deposit down and pay half the monthly payment so that I can go and study with her. And He just said yes right away, and I was just like, oh, it was like the happiest day of my life. It was like, oh wow, I'm going to get to follow my dream. I'm going to get to go and do it. And oh, wow. And of course, you have also studied with Marissa, right? And of course, when I went, of course, to then be able to say to Marissa, you will never guess my story. Wait till I'm so grateful to you. Wait till you hear what's happened. Of course, immediately Marissa's like, would you tell the rest of everybody what's happened with you? Would you tell them your story? So I was up in Marissa's stage then, in front of everybody. And then about 4 months later, I went to see her in London again. And again, she got me back up again. And that time it was for evidence-based results because I'd been working on my eyes and I got 12 different measurable improvements in my eyes
Wow.
of different sorts. And I no longer require to wear glasses for driving when I've needed them since I was 14 years old. which is another bonus. It just keeps getting better and better and better. And of course, the more hypnotherapy I had with my colleagues, especially as we were learning, as we were training, and such like, the more every single session I've had of RTT has given me more advantage and more advantage, getting rid of more and more symptoms. Now, as I look back, I reckon that that first session took away about 60% of my symptoms. And the reason that it did, because I didn't find this out until much, much later, was because the root fear of everything is rejection. That rejection is the very, very worst thing that can happen to you. And my parents had been so strict that every time I was looking for their attention, their affection, there was rejection involved, which of course is why I went looking for the shiny, happy, friendly people in the church when I was 4 years old. So that's why it was so effective. That's one of the reasons that it was so effective with me. Now, the reason that I found out recently, I'm sorry, I'm going to bring this right up to date. The
It's
reason
okay.
that I have found out now, because I've now moved on 4 years, I'm now a clinical hypnotherapist. I love being a therapist. I do a whole lot of different modalities, not just RTT, because I've learned so much from so many people over this past few years. Also, with having the ability to do things like learn again, having my cognitive abilities back again, I've done a power of studying. And I've ended up getting, well, I've accumulated quite a lot of expertise and quite a lot of certificates in things like neuroscience, neuropsychology, neuroplasticity, psychotherapy, abuse, domestic abuse awareness, addiction therapy, Qigong, sound therapy. I've trained to be a coach and a master coach. So, an NLP practitioner as well, obviously a master NLP practitioner, etc. Now, what that basically means is that when I put all these things together, it means that I can function with people on three levels. One is communication with the conscious mind, so that the conscious mind is on board with the idea of what to change, what they want to change, why they want to change it, and they're on board with the whole idea. So it's like, ah, yeah, well, that makes sense to me. And that, yes, that makes sense to me, is really important for the conscious mind, first and foremost. Then, of course, is the communication with the unconscious mind to, depending in what way that is going to go, be it for emotional regulation, or whether it be for exploration, or whether it be for healing, self-healing, connecting somebody up with their own inner healer so that they can always heal themselves, whatever aspect of it is, it's still that communication with with the superconscious mind. Sorry, when you consider that this is 5%, right, of our brain, and then we've got this bit here, which is operating every single heartbeat of our whole lives with 86 billion neurons all firing and wiring and making trillions of connections with every single new thing that we learn. And all of this is functioning all the time. To call that sub anything is ridiculous. To call it unconscious is ridiculous. So therefore, I tend to call it the superconscious because it actually operates everything. All the time, this bit's sleeping, this bit's working away for you, keeping you healthy, keeping you well, regenerating you, re-energizing you, revitalizing you, renewing you, giving you new skin, renewing everything inside you, healing everything inside you, because that's its job. That's what it does. And it does it exceptionally well. And hypnotherapy is obviously a way of communicating directly with that aspect so that we can basically boost everything so that everything's done more efficiently. And the third part is participation, action. Act I on it. If I act on it, then it becomes permanent. It becomes, yep. Yeah. But because the conscious mind and the unconscious mind are both on board, then it's easy just to get on with it. Not hold on to the old story, but let it go.
That
You don't
changes
need to hold on to
everything.
it anymore.
Yeah, that changes everything. And I think you really touched on something important there. And when I'm practicing RTT or any sort of counseling, coaching, therapy, you've got the person wanting that support needs to participate. There's no, you can't just go and expect someone to fix you, someone to heal you, without you taking responsibility for yourself. And that is when the success happens, which is obviously what happened with you. You took responsibility. You looked at it. You wanted to change your life. You knew that you deserved it, and you deserved it for your family as well. But without you taking that responsibility, you'd probably still be where you were.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the moment I had like that amount of improvement, I mean, the amount I learned, it was like straight into, the next session was Jeffrey Allen, who does the chakra healing, and that was amazing. The next session was Donna Eden with energy work, and that took me right back to doing Jigong. And that kind of healing. And that was another influence that came in. And then after that was an amazingly spiritual woman called Deborah King. And what she did was completely blew me away. But yes, you're absolutely right. I grabbed on to that bit, said, I've got this improvement. I am going to stretch this and keep on stretching this, keep on going until I've got rid of as much as I possibly can get rid of. And I got rid of about 98% of my symptoms. And that was obviously fabulous because it means that I get to be my own testament. I get to be able to say, I can hand on heart say, this works. And I know psychologically, I know like on a visceral level how this works. I understand the neurology that's involved with it. And that is the way it is. And it means that I've got an insight and an intuition and an understanding with clients that is quite exceptional that a lot of people out there just would not have. And I am very happy to say that yes, I have taken clients from being bedridden to being out running about and given them their freedom the same way. As I am out hill walking, I'm out playing tennis, I'm out going on holidays and doing things that I love doing. And it's awesome, it's amazing. But it is because we have this capacity within our own minds to heal ourselves. And there is no healing without our super conscious minds being on board with this healing.
And also, I mean, you've got a lot in your toolkit now, but I was going to
Absolutely.
ask what's happened since then. And obviously, lots happened. Not only are you practicing, you're a practitioner and in helping, supporting people.
Okay. Susie, you were saying about you don't really like the idea of support and help, and I get that completely. I understand that. The two words that resonate with me and that I use all the time is enable and empower. That's what I do. I enable somebody to do it for themselves. I can't do anything to them. All I can do is enable, facilitate them to be able to have that communication with their inner mind, to make peace with their inner mind, to change the settings within their own inner mind. If there's things they want rid of, then take away those things they want rid of and fill up with what they do want, because that's part and parcel of. And it's great to be able to enable somebody to do that. And by enabling them, I then empower them to be themselves, to be free to of all the stuff that's for the past. Leave it behind, let it be left behind. There's no reason to carry it right here, right now. No, let it go. Yeah. Because it doesn't serve us anymore. So much stuff that we have been conditioned with that we do have to let go of. And this is where, for example, you have influenced me greatly because of the start of that journey and what it meant, what it led to, the understanding that it was okay to go inward in order to be me and be comfortable with me so that I could then go forward and help others. And I now have this massive file with pages and pages of testimonials from people who are just so happy that I've been able to enable and empower them to change their lives, for them to transform completely when they thought they wouldn't be able to. And that's awesome to be able to do that for people. Now, to bring it straight up to date, right, because we're almost at the end of our hour, to bring it straight up to date, two symptoms I couldn't get rid of: time and temperature. Couldn't do time, temperature, all to pot. Time, it turned out, was because I had to find out that I am ADHD and that I've obviously always been ADHD. I've always been non-neurotypical. I've always had been neurodiverse, let's say, because of ADHD. And the other aspect was that I wanted to find out, the temperature one was I wanted to find out what was the coverall term for everything that made me ill for all of these years. Not just me, but my father, my uncles, cousins, through my family. Yeah. It's made lots of us ill. And I wanted to find out that coverall term. It turns out the coverall term is functional neurological disorder. And I've only found out that recently. And that is described by the neurologist who saw me as the most common, most unknown neurological disorder. And there's so many of us have got so many of these symptoms, and we end up with lots and lots and lots and lots of diagnoses. And it turns out that basically, if it's something that comes from the brain and you get lots of things that come from the brain, then if that's what the connection is, that's where the problem is. And what it basically means is a processing problem. So it's not down to you, it's in your head because it's a processing problem within the neurons. And fortunately, the neurologist who saw me also said, oh, I couldn't believe it, Susie. You can imagine sitting there, right? And I'm sitting there as the, yeah, okay, but I've had this, all these symptoms, and I want to know what it is. You've got to tell me because I need to know, you know? I know you're not getting away with just saying you've only got three. No, not happening. You will tell me what this is. And of course, when he told me, and then he told me the best news of all, the very best, most effective treatment for functional neurological disorder, FND, is hypnotherapy. Yes! Yeah, dancer! I feel like it's like everything has prepared me so that now I can reach out and help a whole lot of people with all these symptoms that do come from our brains, because I completely 100% understand it. And I know how to shift these things through the journey that I've taken. And you've been part of that journey, a very precious part of that journey. And for that, I deeply, deeply, deeply thank you.
Oh, that's oh,
Thank
you are
you.
so welcome. I just love the way that people's lives cross paths and Who knew? I had no idea. I had no idea what you were going through, and I'm just so thrilled to see you happy and feeling healthier and focused and knowing what you're here to do, wanting to share that. And that's to me is the real measure of a person, that when you have found something that helps you and you've had some healing through it, that the first thing you think of is, how can I share this? How can I help others? And you're a true testament to that. And I forgot to say at the beginning that I'm again in my dressing gown for people that are watching this, and so was Anne, but she got a bit warm because it's summer over there. But I also thought I'll just go the whole hog today. So I also have a pajama top on. It's a bit funny with the screen because it's stripes, but it's got my favourite word, sassy, on it, that my daughter bought for me because she knows that's my favourite word. I also have Snoopy earrings on because Snoopy is my hero, and my daughter bought those as well. So we are fun people. We feel more ourselves, I think, now than ever through what we've gone through. RTT for me was something that I did because I needed to heal myself. Yes, I can see you there. Yes.
I want to tell you something, Susie, that you probably don't know. There was one date, because of course I've met Marissa and I love her to bits. Yeah, I would do anything for her, really. I would stand up like a warrior and fight for her. I love her to bits. And same for you. And I had a special connection with Marissa, and so did you. And one day, I happened to go onto her Facebook page, and she only had about six photos up. One was of her, one was of Marissa and Shan, her sister. One was of me with Marissa Peer, and one was of you with Marissa Peer. So there was actually, our photos were one on top of the other of both of us with Marissa Peer. Now, when you consider that at that point there had been about 4,000 students, and your picture was above mine, and in one of my phones, I took a screenshot of it, and I thought, one day I'm going to let Susie know this, that she and I were actually on the same page in different photos, both of us with Marissa Peer. Isn't that awesome?
That is so cool. Oh, please send me that. I'd love to see that. I love
I will do.
the synchronicities. So many synchronicities in our lives. And I'm going to share Anne's details. So if you feel pulled to reach out to her, you can see she's a beautiful, warm, caring person who I'm sure would take very good care of you, who you'd feel very safe and comfortable with. So I definitely will do that. Now we're going to have a little bit of fun, because you probably heard in my other podcasts that I like to end on a light note, because we do talk about some heavy stuff sometimes, and I'm all about fun, and I can see from meeting you now, so are you. So I'm going to ask you a series of questions before we wrap up, and let's do it. Let's have some fun. Now you might know some of them. I might mix them up a bit.
I
Like
don't remember them
a
much. I was listening. I don't remember them. That's the good
Okay.
news.
All right. What's your secret guilty pleasure?
Sweeties.
Sweeties?
Yeah, sugar, jelly sweeties. Yeah.
We've all got one. Where would you most like to travel to in the world?
Australia, to come and see you, Susie.
Yay. I'm
I've
all
been
for that.
saying for years that I fully expect that one day I'm going to meet you face to face.
I'm sure we will. All
I
right, let's
fully expect it's
throw that out to
going to happen.
the
Yeah,
universe.
make that happen.
What do you love most about yourself?
My compassion mixed with my intelligence, because it allows me awesome focus and ability to be able to see all the layers underneath and bring it together for people. And it's awesome to have a brain like that. I've got superpowers within that, and I'm as this combination of compassion and intelligence. I think it's awesome.
Useful. What is your favorite word? I told you mine's sassy. Do you have a favorite word?
Word. Numpty.
Oh my God, I love it.
Numpty. No, sorry. I'm going to take that back, right? That's one of my favorite words, right? Because you can say it very lightheartedly, yeah, and not be very offensive to someone, right? I can call myself a numpty and it's all right. I'm just being silly, yeah. I'm not being a complete utter total idiot. However, my best word, and I'd love to share this with you, Susie, right? My best word is fan-dabby dozy.
And what does that mean?
Fan-dabby dozy. And fan-dabby dozy means everything's fantastic, brilliant, right over the top, wonderful. It's fan-dabby dozy.
I think I'm going to borrow
Now,
that. I like that one.
it's a fantastic word. I'll put it in writing for you so that you can see it. I should probably actually put it up on my page as well because it's a really, really good word. It comes from a comedy team who were called the Crankies, who came from a small village called Killiecrankie, and their favourite word, their theme word, their signature word was fan dabby dozy. And I just love the sound of it. I think it's just so exuberant and exciting. But yes, that's my favourite word.
Beautiful. What am I going to throw at you now? What's your favorite sound?
And also. I just love that sound. It's just.
I thought you were going to say bird song or choirs or.
Well, I'm in a choir. I'm in a choir and I sing tenor in the choir and I absolutely love it. And for the people who are watching this, by the way, the neurologist also said to me, sing songs that you know, make up songs that you don't know, join a choir so that you're singing with other people because it's a huge impact on your brain and helps stimulate everything. So yes, highly recommended to sing on your own and of course with other people, even better.
Yes, in the shower. Wherever, it doesn't
Everywhere.
matter.
Exactly.
Karaoke. That's a good one. And
Yeah.
finally, if your life was made into a movie, Anne, who would you like to play you?
My goodness. Would like to play me. What's the name of the actress who played the main character in Titanic, the main female?
Kate Winslet.
Kate Winslet. Yeah. Kate Winslet. I think she's very much like me, like the kind of character I am. And the characters she's played kind of fit me. So, yes, Kate Winslet.
Beautiful. So again, it's after midnight there. I just applaud you for your staying power. I know you've had a huge day, so we're going to leave it there, but I can't tell you how happy my heart is having seen your beautiful face and heard your beautiful voice finally after all these years, and for sharing your story and your passion with us. And I'm just, yeah, be forever grateful. I can't wait to meet you in person and give you that big hug.
Oh my goodness, huge, 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 huge big hug to you, Susie. And thank you so much for having me on. It's been an absolute joy to meet you at long last. Such a pleasure to speak to you, and I'm so looking forward to speaking to you again.
Thank you. So thank
You
you,
take good care.
everyone.
Lots of love to you.
Big love to you too. And thank you for being here with us. And I'll see you again on the next episode of the Untangling Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me today. on the Untangling series podcast. I feel absolutely blessed to be on this journey with you. If you would like more details on where to purchase my book, The Untangling, I've popped the link in the notes below. Perhaps you may feel called to work with me one-on-one to support you in your own untangling. I would love that. I offer my services as a coach to walk you through this process in a unique bespoke program created solely for you because you are unique. Another one of my passions is offering my services as a keynote speaker. I do like engaging with others, as you can probably tell. If any of that is of interest to you, you can contact me directly by the links below or head on over to my website at susiedejong.com.au and I will get straight back to you, I promise. I love what I do and I know what my purpose is, to pay it forward and help others untangle and find their own freedom and joy. So bye for now, and I look forward to seeing you next time.